In terms of things to be done, I wonder, are you a list kind of person? Do you write your list and just get on with what you need to do? Or are you the kind of person who makes a list by telling others your list and then causing a drama about fulfilling your list, perhaps? You don't need to admit to that right now. Or do you wonder, what list? What are you talking about? What needs to be done? We're all different. We're all very different. And in the chapter we're looking at today, some of those differences are highlighted. And Lynn's going to come and read to us from Luke chapter 10.
Luke 10, 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had to say. But Martha was distracted by all preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Amen.
Like me, you've probably heard the story of Mary and Martha a lot. And collectively, we've probably heard hundreds of sermons preached on it. And I imagine this story possibly stirs up different images and different thoughts. I have my own thoughts about it, but it's the word of the Lord, so I won't go there too much. But just to say that it does make me groan inwardly a little. It's okay to admit that, isn't it? Or maybe it may make you chuckle a little bit too. A little bit like the news item that was featured this week. I don't know if you saw it, but apparently doing basic household chores can extend your life and reduce the risk of heart disease. Did you know that? Yeah. Just 30 minutes of laundry work, gardening or vacuuming, has the same benefits as half an hour in the gym. There you go. So all of you, if you have gym membership, you don't need it apparently. That's good. Good to know. But it's completely irrelevant, I suppose, but I do chuckle with this story too. The thought of telling men that they too can be Mary or Martha makes me kind of want to hand out lipstick as well. That's just me. But I suppose I groan inwardly with this story because we, the church, can get caught up in the thinking that there's only the Martha way of serving Jesus or that there is only the Mary way of serving Jesus. And quite often, we may forget that we at various points of time can take attributes from both in our own service. I just said in our own service. Well, perhaps we are challenged this morning simply by that. Is it our own service we are in the business of? Or is it God's service we are engaged in? Our own or God's? I'll leave that there, but that, if that speaks to you, do something about starting that heart change today. In the gospel, we have Mary sitting at Jesus' feet and Martha, who was physically serving Jesus. They were both serving Jesus, and they were serving Jesus before they physically saw Jesus in the distance, as a reading tells us from those verses. They both loved Jesus, and they were both serving him in their own way. But the thing is, Mary thought Martha's style of serving was inferior to hers, and Mary thought Martha's way of serving Jesus was inferior. And so often we see that in our churches, obviously not in the Salvation Army, but we often see people belittled or fobbed off because their service to God does not look like someone else's service to God. Friends, there is no such thing as first-class or second-class Christians. There's no such thing as first-class or second-class service. If you were to go to the event cinema for $10, if you have a Cinebuzz account, a Cinebuzz card, you'll have the option and extra expense if you choose the gold class cinema. Well, there is no gold class Christian. There is no gold class service. There is no basic economy Christian and no basic economy service. And therefore, there is no distinction that we draw of first class and second class service for Jesus. And we may not do it intentionally, but we may well look down on other people's service. You see, service is worship. So why on earth would we be critical of other people's flavour of worship? So friends, let us be on our guard against that. May we learn to embrace each other's differences and celebrate them. May we serve the Lord corporately in the individual ways he calls us to. Service, serving Jesus, looks different for each of us. Service, serving Jesus, looked different for Martha. And we look to Martha. Verse 38 says, Martha opened her door to him, to Jesus. And Martha practiced hospitality, we see there. It's always nice to have friends around for a meal, and it's good to catch up over a meal, and that's an easy thing to do with friends, but hospitality goes far deeper. And as pleasant as hospitality is today, we must remember that in the ancient world it was much more important. It was considered a sacred obligation. The concept of a hotel or restaurant was little known in the ancient world, and actually the most common example there was a house of prostitution. An inn was often not much more. And therefore, decent people sought out a home in which to stay the night by planting themselves in the town square and waiting for someone to take them in for the night. Times have changed, so please hear I'm not suggesting that we try that. But Abraham had set this as an example. And if you recall in Genesis that he entertained angels without knowing it. And so the thought that you too might be entertaining angels made for good hospitality. And in ancient times, it was socially expected, almost to the point of being a right of a traveller. When Jesus sent out the 70, he did not say, if you find a house, but whatever house you enter, he said. And so hospitality in those ancient times truly, truly extended to all. Christ's hospitality extends even to us. So may we, the recipients of it, not limit it by extending it to others, by choosing who we extend it to. Yes, Martha was hospitable, but we also find out more about Martha. And there are two verbs that tell us about Martha. She's distracted. And other translations use such words as encumbered, worried, upset, or pulled away. And the last is a very insightful translation. The Greek word used is composed of two other Greek words. And I'm not going to practice the Greek without Stephen here because my usual limitation is moussaka. Everything begins and ends with food with me. But the Greek, in essence, means pulled away from the centre. And that's instructive because Martha is pulled away from Jesus by the chores of hospitality. Do we sometimes get pulled away as well from Jesus? Do we allow things to pull us away? Also, we see that Martha is worried. And this word is used in several other parts of the New Testament. Again, the Greek means to take no thought for the morrow. And Martha carried a mental load, and we do too. But is our mental load pulling us away from Jesus? I think we're better off bringing it to him and being Mary for a while. So there's also something else about Mary. She, on the other hand, gets to sit at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. Now, the men of Australia copped a pretty bad time in the press this week. And apparently the laziest of men can be found in the Habitat of Australia. Did you see that news item? Yeah, I'm sorry, men. Well, that's certainly not true in my house, and it's not possibly not true in yours either. But to be honest, lazy people are, to me, are a challenge. But it could appear here in this passage that Mary is taking on the role of a man, you know, the stereotypical lazy person. But at this point in time, Mary's role would have been considered scandalous. For she was taking on the role and the posture of a disciple, and she was just a woman. Get that. Imagine that. And she took on the posture of a disciple, of a man. And that was not the sort of thing that Martha would want to encourage in her house. I don't know about your life, about the detail, but God does. But in mine, I would sometimes love to be able to sit to do nothing else but to just be still and know that he's God. But I don't believe this is what we are simply called to do. Yes, we should sit and spend quality time with our Lord. However, as his disciples, we too are called to action. Go and make disciples of all nations. Go. Catherine Booth said, "A salvation that does not lead to service is no salvation at all." We hear a lot about human beings, about human beings, just being, people who sit and be, resting in the presence of Jesus. But that for me is only so that we can then go and do and then go and be. Actively be the light in the darkness. Actively be available to those who need good news. Be, actively be. Not just don't exist. Actively be. Traditionally, this passage has been interpreted as extolling the virtues of Mary over Martha, and that Mary has chosen what is better, the way of listening. But perhaps these ministries complement each other rather than being in conflict with one another. For without the ministry of Martha preparing the food and looking after the domestic chores, then Mary would not have been able to exercise her ministry of listening, and Jesus may not have found Martha's house to be such a place where he could sit and exercise his ministry of teaching. We can, however, understand how Martha feels, hard done by because she is left out to do all the hard work, while Mary sits and listens, taking it easy. And I imagine that in some extent in ministry, we can identify with that too. Martha learned to be still and to listen. Mary learned to pour out her heart. And as they received Jesus' teaching, they learned the balance between a soul at rest and a body in motion, between working for Christ and sitting at his feet. And perhaps what this passage is really saying to us, beyond the initial perception, is that here is the two sisters are not simply two different people with two different roles, different personalities or different ministries, but two dimensions of ourselves. One representing extroversion, focus on the world and action, while the other represents introversion, a focus on the inner world and contemplation. We need both dimensions. We need to embrace both qualities and realities within ourselves, to be busy and engaged, while at times being passive, waiting and listening and receptive to God. God invites us both to action and to contemplation, not as separate activities, but as two sides of the same coin of discipleship. We may naturally feel more comfortable in one role over the other, but both are what it is to be a disciple. One of the most profound yet often neglected distinctive characteristics of the Christian life is that one day in every seven we're called to rest, to cease activity and to worship God. Yet how many of us truly heed that calling? Exodus 20, verse 8, keep the Sabbath holy. I know myself that if I don't rest in him, it shows to others. None of us make our best choices when we're tired, when we're overburdened, when we're burnt out. Take time to rest. Take time to rest in him. But also, as you do so, give others permission to do so too. You're all aware it's a public holiday tomorrow. You don't need to go to work, unless you have to work on a public holiday. Take advantage of that if you can. Take time to rest. But I wonder how many of us think that by standing still and waiting upon God, not seemingly doing anything, we may lose standing in the eyes of other people. What are we without our busyness, our activism, our works? We do need to spend time with our God, because if we don't, we become ineffective for him. Our activism may become a form of idolatry, serving our needs, our ego, rather than serving God. We consider that through our actions we might grow in standing in the eyes of others, but we gain credit, that we're keeping up with someone else, making us feel worthy, indispensable, productive, useful, in control. And in the middle of all this activity, our soul shrinks, withers and dies. We lose our peacefulness, joy dies, and we burn out. But the alternative is to be still, to listen, and to hear the voice that Jesus heard in the waters as he was baptized with John. "You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." And Jesus' ministry hadn't even started when God spoke those words. Jesus was loved by God without doing anything. And we too are loved by God for who we are, not for what we do. So may God give us a Mary heart in a Martha world. May we embrace both the Mary and Martha within us and welcome them as dimensions of ourselves, and may we in God's own way be drawn out of ourselves into a deeper union with him in Christ, both in service and contemplation. You see, it was only as Martha and Mary humbled their hearts and learned from Jesus that they were changed. May we too experience a holy makeover in encountering our living Lord as we sit at Christ's feet, in order to go and to be a difference in the world for him.